If you want to, just go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 11. And you can turn to the second page. If you weren't here last week, nothing was important on page one. No, it was. It was good stuff, but just don't worry about it. But page two, we'll start where it talks about background of the nation of Israel. Here's the question before we pray, that there was the promise going all the way back, really basically from Adam and Eve, there was the coming of Messiah and the Savior. But then from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Judah to David to all of the nation of Israel, they were pointing to this Messiah who's going to come and who's going to die and pay for sin and be the Messiah and the King and all of this. You would think that the nation of Israel, the people, the Jewish people, that when the Messiah would come, out of all the people in the world, they would be the one to recognize him the quickest and the most. But what we find is that they didn't. In fact, we find that they missed him. We find that as a nation, as a people group, they missed him. John 1:11, he came into his own and his own received him not. Now, that doesn't mean individual Jewish people didn't believe in Jesus, because a bunch of them did. In fact, the whole church, the very beginning of the church, was almost all Jewish until it spread out. But what we're saying is that the nation of Israel as a whole missed him. And we'd say, that doesn't seem right. And so we have this as the mystery of Israel's blindness. This is what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 11. In fact, verse 25, he says, I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery. Now, we've been doing mysteries, and we're going to highlight the eight mysteries again as we get started, and then we'll go through them fairly quickly. But this is the mystery on how the nation of Israel would be blind to the Messiah. And just to bring you up from last week, we talked about it. The whole purpose was so that the fullness of the Gentiles would come in. God, in his plan, which he didn't even talk about the church in the Old Testament, but God's plan was for Israel as a nation to be blind to the Messiah. He set them aside, chooses Jew and Gentile, put them in one body called the church, the body of Christ, and is using the church. And so the whole aspect of why Israel's blindness, until he brings together his church, takes the church out, and then he'll deal with Israel again. That's the simplest. We could stop right there, but there's a lot more. I want you to see the details, but that's how it fits. Let's start with a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for each one that is here, Lord. We thank you for your love to us in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we think about the mysteries of the Bible, the things that Paul talked about, we know that there are a lot of different ones, but a lot of them seem to tie around the body of Christ. We know that the church, the nation, the church was never mentioned in the Old Testament, and that the church was the mystery, and that the Jew and the Gentile to coming together in one body, and the church is the bride of Christ, and the church will be raptured out, and all of these different things. And even tying in with the Antichrist coming that happens after the rapture of the church. And then even this last thing, the mystery of Israel's blindness, all goes back to the church. So thank you, Lord. We know that when we talk about the church, the body of Christ, that's the mystery. We also realize there are other aspects of the mysteries tied in around there. This morning, Lord, we ask you that as we study and we look at the mystery of Israel's blindness, that you will teach us and we'll be able to put all these things together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how long it'll take us to finish. You know, last week, I thought we'd do the whole thing at one time. We got about halfway through, so we'll go through it. And if we have time left over, we'll just open up for any questions. But as we go through, if something's not making sense or it's not flowing, just go ahead and stop me. Now, I think we've got the first handout is the first slide up here is the list of the mysteries. There were eight mysteries that we talked about. The mystery of the gospel, meaning who is the Messiah, what was the mystery of that. Then the mystery of Christ as God, that Jesus of Nazareth was actually God. The third mystery was the Christ indwelling. It was never told that the Messiah would actually live inside people. Fourth mystery is the mystery of the church, Jew and Gentile together in one body. That was never told. The mystery of the church, which is the bride of Christ. It was never told that the bride of Christ was church. The Old Testament, Israel was the wife of Jehovah, but the church is the bride of Christ. The sixth one was the mystery of the rapture. Since the church itself was a mystery, the actual taking out of the church was definitely a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. The last couple of weeks or 2 weeks ago, we saw the mystery of iniquity, in which there was this man of sin. The mystery of lawlessness was the way we put it, that there would be this man of sin come to power, but he would not come to sin until first there'd be the departure of the church, which tied back into the mystery of the church. And then last but not least, we're here on the mystery of Israel's blindness. And that is such a strange one. The first time that I really, really had to think through it. Now, I'd thought about it. If you said to me, how could Israel as a nation miss the Messiah? I would say it was God's plan that they as a people group miss the Messiah so he could set them apart, use the church, take the church out, and then bring them back. Now, I would have said that. But when we study, when I did Romans, the book of Romans, and we got into Romans 9, 10, and 11, there's just so much more details there, and it really became alive to me there. It is a mystery, the mystery of Israel's blindness, how that God did not make it known that the nation of Israel would miss their own Messiah. That's a people group now, not individually. So let me remind you, if you're on page 2, it says the mystery of Israel's blindness ties to the church. Then I've got background of the nation of Israel. I've got God chose Israel. God chose Abraham. You can put Abraham there if you want to. God chose the nation of Israel, giving the message of a coming Messiah who would be Israel's king, if you want to put that down, if you weren't here last week, but who would be Israel's king and the savior of the world. That's the key. He chose this people group beginning in Abraham. He took Abram, brought him to a land. He said, I'm going to show you the land. I'm going to give you the land. Then he made a promise to him that in him all the nations of the world be blessed. That's the Messiah. And so the nation of Israel was supposed to tell about the Messiah. But then it was told to Isaac, and Isaac was told to Jacob, and Jacob was told down to Judah. Judah went all the way down to David. David is the king, knew about the Messiah. And then the prophets, you think about Isaiah, saw him as a suffering servant and king. Jeremiah saw him making the new covenant. Ezekiel saw him high and lifted up. Daniel saw him as the son of man who would take the throne. And so you'd say, all these Jewish things, these Jewish people, these Jewish, they know what's coming. And then John 1:14 that I have for you, and the word became flesh. At exactly the right time in the history of mankind, Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and became a human being to be the God-man, to be the mediator between God and man, to be the one who's going to die on the cross and pay for the sin of the world. He's come at exactly the perfect time. And what's so amazing, here he comes and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And John writes that we beheld his glory even as only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said we saw that. But John 1:11 says he came unto his own and his own received him not. We'd say, wait a minute. You're telling me that the Jewish people who wrote about the Messiah, who told about the Messiah, who knew everything about the Messiah, when he came, they went, that's not our Messiah. How could they, as a people group, now individually Jewish people believed in him all the time, and today, individual Jewish people believe in Jesus Christ all the time, but the nation of Israel as a whole, they have not believed in the Messiah. There will come a time. Let me remind you of something. God chose these people, and beginning with Daniel, in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, he said to Daniel, I'm going to give my people, Israel, 490 years to do their ministry. Now, you may have never studied Daniel. If you've been in my 2-2 class or you've taken some end times and those kind of things, this is a familiar passage. But if you've never, you have to take this by faith that he promised them 490 years. And what is so amazing, here comes the Messiah, Jesus. He's born into the world. He lives on the earth for 30 years. Then he begins the ministry at about age 30. And the Jewish nation, not the individual Jewish people, but the Jewish nation misses him. And at the 483-year mark, Jesus Christ is crucified, and the nation of Israel rejects the Messiah, so to speak. The blindness of Israel has come, and they say, we have no king but Caesar. Let his blood be on our own hands. And so the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is crucified, dead and buried for 3 days and 3 nights, rises again, walks on the earth for 40 days, ascends into heaven, and he begins later, 10 days after that, the church. What God does, it says, okay, I promised you 490 years, and you've used up 483, and I'm stopping it because you missed him. So I'm going to take the nation of Israel, who is blind as a people group, to the Messiah, and I'm going to set them over here. Okay, you got 490, you used 483. How many they got left? 7. So now I'm going to take the church, Jew and Gentile, and I'm going to let them do their thing, put them all together in one body, bride of Christ, everything. And then the mystery was, I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to take them out. And when I take them out, I'm going to turn back to these people that have been blinded. And I'm going to say, wake up, because I'm going to wake you up. How many years they got left? How long's the tribulation? 7 years. And what happens is, he brings them back, and at the beginning of this, there's going to be this man of sin rise that we saw 2 weeks ago, and he's going to make a peace pact with the nation of Israel. It's going to last for 7 years. And at the very beginning, 144,000 what? Jewish people believe in the Messiah, begin to spread the word. How come 144,000 Jewish people? Because the blindness is gone. We'll see it in the passage this morning. And these Jewish people begin to believe, and they start telling everybody, and they talk about the Messiah, Christ, and the people group as a whole, they're believing. And when you get toward the end of that tribulation, things get worse and worse because the Antichrist puts his idol up in the temple and claims to be God. We saw that 2 weeks ago. And then he gets to a certain point, and the Messiah is ready to come, and the nation of Israel does what we find in Romans 10, where they call upon the name of the Lord. They have already believed in him as Messiah, and then they call out for deliverance. That's why Romans 10, where people get confused, it says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He's dealing with the nation of Israel in Romans 10. He's not talking about that's how people get eternal life salvation. For with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. That's how you get eternal life salvation, by faith. The nation of Israel gets physical deliverance when they call upon the name of the Lord. And at the very end of the tribulation, the nation of Israel as a whole believes. That's why Romans 11:26 says, and then all Israel shall be saved. He's not talking about eternal life salvation. He's talking about physical deliverance. The Messiah will come back to the earth and set up the kingdom and deliver his people from the enemy and set up a kingdom. So that's what we're seeing. So why in the world, if you just said it now, why in the world would God blind his people to the Messiah? Why? So there would be a church. That's it. So he'd have Jew and Gentile together. He gave them their time. He stopped their time. He's using us. He takes us out. He comes back. Let's see how that fits. So I've got there in Romans 11:25. The mystery is, and here it is, a partial hardening has come to the nation until the fullness of the Gentiles. If you wanted to fill in your blank, the bottom of page 2, a partial hardening has come to the nation until the fullness of the Gentiles. We'd say it this way: God has them blinded until he has brought all he wants into the church. The top of the next page, then all blank will be blank. All Israel will be saved. Okay. Now that's where we stopped last week, and we've got a few minutes to finish, and let me just take you through it because you know it now. If we stopped right here, we wouldn't even have to go the rest of the way, but I want you to see the details because you know the mystery of Israel's blindness. Let me give you the outline. Here's the outline of the book of Romans. I only put part of the book of Romans. Chapters 1 through 8 deal with the whole idea of salvation and service. 9, 10, 11 deal with the nation of Israel. I didn't put it, but 12 through 16 deal with the practical application of how we live. But 9, 10, 11 are the ones that we want to know because Romans chapter 9 deals with the past, Israel, God choosing the nation. Chapter 10 deals with Israel in the present, their present rejection. And chapter 11 deals with Israel's plan in the future, how God's going to bring them back. He's going to remove the blindness from them. And you know, you may have thought about this. When I was coaching at Mississippi State, I met a Jewish guy. His name was Abishai ben Parai. And his name really means the son of a fruitful vine. And they had come to Mississippi State to study. And he was Jewish. His wife was Jewish. And somehow I got to meet them. And they invited me to come to their house. And it turned around that we wanted that she asked the question about the Messiah and what did I think about the Messiah. And, of course, I started to talk about it. And Abishai was a great guy. He flew in the Six-Day War and all of that stuff. He was a fighter pilot. And yet, as soon as we started talking about Christ, he picked up his newspaper. We were all sitting together, but he picked up his newspaper, moved to another place in the room, put his paper like this, and never talked to me again in the room that day. Now, he talked to me later, but not that day. Because, see, in his mind, I'm not thinking about this Messiah. Because the people group as a nation, as a whole, they're blind to him. Now, individually. I've told you the story, so it's not new, that I used to fly back and forth from Dallas to Amarillo when I was in Borger, and I'd fly back and forth. And one time I got on the plane in Dallas, and I sat right by this lady, and her name was Mrs. Fepperman, and she owned Fepperman. She had about 5 cowboy clothing stores in Amarillo, and she was a Jewish lady. And I was taking Hebrew then, so I was trying to study the book of Jonah, and it was all Hebrew, so I pulled it out, and I was trying to read it. She looked at me, and she said, "You know Hebrew?" I went, Sort of. I sort of know Hebrew. And she said, "I'm Jewish." And I said, "Oh, I love Jewish people." And so we started talking, and I told her about the Messiah. I said, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah?" She said, I cannot think about that. Thank you." She couldn't think about it. And so I stopped saying anything to her, and then she looked over at me. She said, "I wish I could have faith like you." And I said, "Miss Pepperman, you can." She said, "No, I can't. I cannot consider Jesus as Messiah." That's what she said. Because I asked her, I said, would you be willing to go back, look at all the Old Testament passages that talk about the Messiah and see if Jesus matched them at all? She went, nope, I will not be willing to do that. So sometimes you run into people and you go, why won't they even listen? Why won't they even consider it? Because as a people group, I'm putting it that way, they're blind. So in Israel 9, 10, and 11, Israel 11 is the plan. Now here's what I want you to see. And this is, we said the partial hardening has happened until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, until the church. But here's the thing. There are a lot of people, when they see this, when they talk about the nation of Israel, they'll say, God is through with the Jews. Did you know that most churches, most denominations believe that God is completely through with the nation of Israel and that the church has replaced Israel and that God will never use the Jewish people again? Most believe that. I don't know if you realize that or not. We don't believe that because we take the Bible from a historical, literal, grammatical interpretation. But people who don't interpret the Bible that way believe that God is through with Israel. In fact, most would say we are spiritual Israel. And when you ask them, what about the promise of the king and the Messiah and the land? They all say those aren't literal promises. So I just want you to know that. When you talk with some people, and you do sometimes, you'll get on something like this, and you'll talk about, you know, Jesus is going to come back and set up the kingdom and all that, and they'll look at you and say, well, we don't really believe that. So a lot of people think that since Israel rejected the Messiah, that God is through. Look at Romans 11, verse 1. I say then, God has not rejected his people, has he? The answer expected, no, he has not rejected his people. May it never be. He's saying, there's no way. And Paul says, look, by the way, I'm Jewish. I'm an Israelite, descendant of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. You know what the scripture says. And so he starts off by saying, look, God's not through with his people. God is not through with the nation of Israel. But he has a plan. And I want you to see what the plan is. Watch what it says. Verse 7. What then? What Israel is seeking is not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Now, what was Israel seeking? They were seeking an eternal relationship with God. They thought they had it. They were seeking it, but they didn't get it. You know why? Because remember in Romans, Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 4, 5, 6, 7. He talks about why they didn't get it. Because they tried to come to God by works, not by faith. And so he says, they didn't obtain it, but the others did, and the rest were what? Hardened. That word has that idea of like, I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't add up to me. Doesn't add up to me. Notice verse 8. He is quoting the Old Testament here. Just as is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. He's talking about the nation of Israel, not as an individual, but as a people group. They just go, I'm sorry, we don't consider that. You know this, that in the reading, that if you get a Jewish calendar, I've got one, if you want to see one Jewish calendar, and on the Friday, they have readings as they get ready for the Sabbath readings. And they read from at least 2 to 3 parts of the Bible. Some places they'll read from the law, the writings, the prophets. Sometimes they'll just read from what they call the law and the writings, which is the Bible. But they have a 3-year program in which you're supposed to read through the scripture. And that'd be the Old Testament. They call it the Tanakh. If you read it carefully, it will go to Isaiah 52, verse 11. There is Isaiah 52, verse 12, by the way. It'll go to Isaiah 52, verse 11. And the next reading is Isaiah 54. They skip Isaiah 53 every year. You'd say, why? Because Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way, but the Lord had laid on him our iniquities. He was sprinkled, he was bruised, he was wounded. And the Messiah, it talks, everybody knows who it is. And the rabbis got tired of Jewish people asking them, who is this person in Isaiah 53? So they quit reading it. And if you ask a rabbi who is in Isaiah 53, he says it is not a who, it is a what. It is the people of Israel who were bruised and wounded for God. And if you said to them, but don't you think that's an individual person who bore the sins? Isn't that your Messiah? And they would say, it is the nation of Israel who has been bruised and wounded and crushed. So this hardening has come upon them. This stupor has come upon them. And it says, eyes to see not, ears to hear not, down to this very day. Yes.
From the time God veiled Israel mm-hmm. until whenever he unveils them, mm-hmm. during all that period of time, would it be safe to say that the people group during 2,000, 3,000 years, however many years, is condemned to...
Not individually, but as a people group. See, did you hear the question? So all these people are condemned to hell? No, because every individual, it's the same. It's hard to put together, y'all, and that's why it's called a mystery. But the truth is, every individual person still has to accept or reject the Messiah. But as a people group, as a nation, they're hardened to it. That's the only way I can answer it. But that's why he says in Romans, you know, in Romans 3 and Romans 4, that nobody's without excuse. Nobody can say to God, I didn't know anything about this. So as a people group, he has set them aside until he's going to give them their final 7 years. Now, individually, you think about it. Was Paul Jewish? Paul Jewish? How about Peter? How about James? How about John? How about Barnabas? How about John Mark? How about Matthew? How about Luke? But see, almost all the first century church, I'm that whole first group, all Jewish. So we can't say Jewish people can't believe. We're saying as a nation as a whole, they are blinded. This is the mystery. And he's not through. Look what he goes on to say in verse 11. And that, I think if you want to, that's the top of the next page, top of page 4. He says, I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? He's saying they didn't fall, miss this whole thing so that they'll never get up. They're not going to get up, are they? Yes, they are going to get up. May it never be. Here's the plan. By their transgression, by their blindness, by their missing it, salvation has come to the Gentiles. That's the church. That's us. That's the body of Christ. You ought to be thankful. There wouldn't be a church, there wouldn't be the body of Christ if the nation of Israel was not blind and set aside. If you only read the Old Testament, there is never a mention of us, we don't even exist. If you said to Daniel, what about the church? He'd say, I've never heard of the church. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. There's no church mentioned in the Old Testament. Church is the mystery that we've already seen that. That's one of the mysteries that the nation of that God would take Israel, the Jews, and Gentiles and put them in one body. So you can't find us there. And so here he's saying, now here's this deal that he's going to set them aside until the salvation has come to the Gentiles. He goes on to say, even to make them jealous. Part of the plan is to make the Jewish people jealous that we got it and they didn't. But he's not through. Notice a little further over, if you go to chapter 11, verse 25. These are the verses that we did see before, but I want to remind you of them. He says, verse 25, I don't want you, brethren, to be uninformed. He says, I want you to understand how this fits of this mystery so that you'll not be wise in your own estimation. You know what he's saying to Gentiles, to the church? Don't be proud that you got it. You got it only because he let you get it. He says, don't be wise in your own estimation, thinking you're better than the Jews. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So the mystery is this partial hardening. Now watch, until the fullness of the what? Gentiles has come in. Then the next verse says, then all Israel will be what? Saved. Now, he's probably using saved in a double duty there. You go back to Romans chapter 10, he uses saved in two ways. The word in the word Greek for saved is sozo. Soterion is the noun for salvation. Sozo is the verb, which means I save. You can use save in a lot of ways. I saved some coupons. I saved this chair. This person was saved so they have eternal life. This person fell in a hole. We pulled them out and saved them physically. That's what the word means. So people ask, well, is it different words? No, it's not. We don't have a different word for save. If I said I saved this chair, you know I'm not saying this chair is now going to heaven. Right? You know that. You're smart. And when he uses the word save in the Old Testament, sometimes it means a physical deliverance. Sometimes it means eternal life. Sometimes it means something else. In Romans 10, it means a physical deliverance and a spiritual salvation. In Romans 11 right here, I believe when he says that the deliverer will come and all Israel will be saved, I think he's using both there. They're going to be delivered physically from their enemies, and they as a people group, as a nation, will believe in the Messiah. Now, that happens at the very beginning of the tribulation. 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, why in the world would 144,000 Jews all of a sudden believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Why? The veils, the blindness is taken away. Why is the blindness taken away? Because what happened? He has now taken the church. The fullness of the Gentiles has come. He's got us. He's taken us off the face of the earth. He says, now I've got all the church I want. And so now it's time for me to take the hardening away and let them finish their last 7 years. That's what it's all about. Notice what he says in verse 26 again. And so all Israel will be saved. Now, verse 28 is a great one because it puts it together. Look at verse 28. And he tells us from the standpoint of the gospel, when you look at it from just giving out the message, they're enemies for your sake. So from the standpoint of the gospel, they're what? Enemy, because it looks like they're rejecting the gospel. It looks like they don't care. It looks like they're against us. In fact, if you talk to Paul in the first century and to many of the Christians in the first century, the Jewish people were against him. And so he says, it looks like to you, from the standpoint of the gospel, they're an enemy. They're not an enemy. Look at the next verse. Or look at the next statement. But from the standpoint of God, God's choice, they are beloved. They're his people. He's not through with the nation of Israel. And so this last mystery that I wanted you to see is that one day, after we are taken out, after God has brought in the fullness of the Gentiles, the body of Christ is complete, and he takes us out, then Israel is going to turn back to God. The hardening will be lifted. 144,000 Jews will believe. The message will spread through in that 7-year tribulation. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. The nation of Israel as a whole, then the enemy comes against them, surrounds Jerusalem. If you read Zechariah chapters 12, 13, and 14, the nation of Israel is the city of Jerusalem is surrounded by the enemy. It looks like it's going to be all over. And who comes? Jesus Christ comes. They call upon the name of the Lord and Israel shall be saved. And Jesus Christ comes out of heaven and lands on the Mount of Olives and it splits in two and he defeats the enemy. He comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so all Israel will be saved.
Destroyed.
Yeah. So 2/3 of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does that mean that 2/3 of the Jews won't?
Well, there's going to be just, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not saved. It means they just don't, they're not physically delivered. Because you remember, a lot of people are killed in the tribulation and are raised from the dead and go into the kingdom that way. There will be a small group of people who live, who are believers, who live through the tribulation and go into the kingdom with regular bodies.
So they're actually saved, but they just physically.
They get killed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the best we can tell. Although we can't know who individually was saved, but as a people group, once again, now they're believing and they're trusting in the Messiah. Yeah. Okay. All right, let me give you the summary. And the summary is very simple. The mystery of Israel's blindness is that God would harden the nation to the Messiah until he completes his plan for the church, removes the church, and then lifts the blindness, and the nation of Israel then believes as a people group and fulfills the ministry that God has for them. That's the summary. Wow. Should I say that again? Or I think you got it. Nation of Israel, blind, puts them aside, brings the church, takes the church out, removes the blindness, and Israel fulfills their role. On the back, I've got applications. And let me get, you had a question? Yeah, go ahead.
He blinded Israel to begin with because they was dependent on works.
Well, the truth is, if you ask them, if you ask anyone, why is this particular Jewish person connected with the nation of Israel, why has he not obtained salvation? Paul would say because he's seeking it by the works of the law and not by faith in the Messiah.
So that was the reasoning for the veil.
Well, the reasoning for the veil to begin with was so he could make the church and bring us together and take us out. That's the reason. He tells us in Romans 11, 25 and 26 that the purpose for the blinding of Israel was so he'd have the church. Yeah, that makes sense. That's why it's the mystery, because the church was a mystery. So if you talk to people in the Old Testament and said, he's going to blind y'all because of the church, they'd go, who? Who? We never heard of the church. There's no such thing. Okay, three applications real quick. The first one is, thank God. I think I got them right here. Thank God that he included the church in his plan. We were a mystery. You read the Old Testament, we're never mentioned. A lot of people try to make us there. You won't find us there. It's not there. Second application is take the message of salvation to individual Jewish people. We support the Christian Jew Foundation. We've always had relationships with Jews for Jesus and Israel My Glory. That's another group. They are doing a great job of going and leading individual Jewish people to Christ. But still, as a people group, Israel has not believed in the Messiah, but individually, plenty. And then the third thing is understand the mysteries of the Bible. This is the end of the study, and we got those 8 mysteries. If you miss some handouts and you want them, come by the office. We've got all the handouts, and we're trying to, you know, get that put together for you. But I think it's a fun study, and next week we'll start another study. It'll be a little bit different, but it'd be fun too. Any questions or comments? Yeah. Huh? 483? Yeah, 490 total. At Daniel 9:24-27. That's a great passage. It's kind of a hard one because when you read it, he talks about 70 weeks have been given to your people. And the word week is heptai in the Hebrew, which means seven. So he says 70 sevens have been given to your people. 70 times seven is 490. You find out it's 490 years. So it's a little bit hard when you just read it. You won't find him saying, I'm giving you 490 years until, but it flows in the passage. Okay. Anything else? What about it? Zion will come. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove the ungodliness from Jacob. Okay, what does it say?
It says Zion, S-I-O-N, the deliverer.
Right. That's his nickname because in the way your Bible's reading it, this one says the deliverer will come from Zion. Yours says Zion, a sign, the deliverer, same word. He's saying that Zion is Israel, is the thing. He's saying the deliverer's coming there because, and he even uses that, in my Bible says from Zion because meaning that out of Israel comes their Messiah. And then this, your Bible is actually saying, calling him Israel, calling him Zion. Yeah. Well, individually, they don't need a second chance because they could have believed in the Messiah at all times. It's just as a people group, they're veiled. That's why it's hard to put it together. That's why I think it really is the mystery. This is one of the hardest ones, except for number 7. 7 was real hard, too. 7 and 8 are real hard. We saved the hardest ones for last. Okay, yes.
When it says all, it doesn't mean all of Israel.
Well,
but it sounds like it means everybody.
Well, the nation of Israel as a whole will be delivered from their enemy when he comes. Okay, they will be saved physically. Well, the unbelieving Jewish person, when Messiah comes, when he sets up the kingdom, he will take an unbelieving Jew who is a goat, and they will be killed and separated. Yeah,
okay.
But also an unbelieving Gentile, the same fate as well when he comes as the king. The bells ring? Is it? Okay, can I get out of this one? Okay, here we go. Dear Heavenly Father, what a great day. Thanks for the truth. Thank you for this study. Help us, Lord, be able to put together the mysteries because we know that we are stewards of your mysteries. Help us to know them and be able to tell other people as well. Thank you for how things fit together in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.